You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Hey, I'm Captain Dean, and welcome to another episode recorded live on location at Riblicker's Smoke Shack in Glasgow, Kentucky. It is good to be back in Glasgow, and if this podcast could smell right now, it would smell delicious. My guest is the rhythm guitarist and lead vocalist for the band No Deceit. Her name is Allison Stafford. Welcome to the Sound Atlas.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for doing it.
Appreciate it.
You guys are here because you're setting up for a show on this particular night that we're talking. And we've talked back and forth for a little bit, so it's like wanting to get this episode out. I was like, I'm going to have to come to you at a show because you guys travel and play all the time.
All the time, but and I'm glad we could finally work it out.
Yeah, but it's so cool. I mean, that's a good thing.
It's a good problem to have.
So, Allison, these all start with the question of where are you from?
I am from a little town in Marion County, Kentucky called Bravardsville.
Ah.
Yeah.
How little?
200 people.
Nice.
Yes. About 50 churches and 200 people.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
50 might be an exaggeration, but
No, there are towns that...
Yeah.
That's real stuff. So you're a native of this area.
Yes.
But the band, is No Deceit a Glasgow band, or do you guys come out of
So we actually come out of Camelsville.
That's what I thought.
But we play all the time in Glasgow, Bowling Green.
I just didn't know what your home base was.
Yeah, home base.
For some reason, I was
thinking
you guys maybe were like a Somerset band.
There's
a few out there.
Yeah. We're not too far. We're about an hour and a half north of Glasgow. So,
right. Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, what got you into music? Like, what were you into? How did you get to guitar? Like, tell me your story of when you were younger. Like, what spawned all this for you?
Sure. Well, so my grandpa played mandolin in a bluegrass band.
Awesome.
He died when I was 8.
Oh.
In 2001, but he gave me my first guitar when I was 4.
Awesome.
And we would just jam. We'd sit in one of his back bedrooms and just jam. And I probably sounded like crap because I wasn't playing anything. But and he was just he would just sit there and jam with me. You know.
But that's how it starts.
Sure. So he really got me into it. And when I was like, from the time I was like 2 years old, I was obsessed with Terry Clark. Do you know who Terry Clark is?
Oh yeah.
Country music singer. She was my hero, my idol. So I wanted to be just like Terry Clark when I was growing up. And I learned how to play guitar, and I guess I sang so much that I just kind of figured it out on my own.
So you got, like you said, a guitar from your grandpa when you were 4.
4.
So it's basically been lifelong for you.
Lifelong, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
When did you discover the talent ability, like when did that kick in as far as your playing?
So I had a neighbor that lived just about less than half a mile down the road from me, and she taught me like 3 or 4 chords on the guitar.
Okay.
And she started to say, you can sing
That's
pretty well. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize,
so
you know.
You kind of discovered both around the same time?
Yeah. She was like, you could sing pretty well. You should try to sing at church or something. Right. So I did. I sang at church a little bit, and then I started to do like the little talent shows when I was like 13, 14, somewhere in there, and then just kind of slowly grew from there.
Cool.
So,
was Terry Clark like the primary, or did you have other genres or anything else come in?
So Terry Clark was my primary like thing until
that was the
I
main
was
goal as far as inspiration.
Yeah, until I was about 12 or 13. And I started listening to a lot of, which I mean, like I said, I was big in church at the time, and I listened to a lot of like Christian punk, which
Christian
was kind
punk.
Of weird. Like,
I didn't know that
completely.
Existed.
Yeah, I know, right? What a weird oxymoron. But I listened to a lot of that, and there was a lot of inspiration that came from that too.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting because those are two completely, totally different ends of the spectrum.
I think music is a language of its own.
100%.
So it can be completely polar opposites in categorizing it, but in the end, it's music.
Right.
It's the same notes, the same instruments, so, you know, kind of thing. And so to me, that
Yeah.
It all blare. It blends at some point.
100%,
you know?
Yeah.
And so inspiration can come from anywhere.
Sure, yeah.
But that's cool. I mean, at least you did get other things. You weren't just solely in country music, right?
Yeah. I was listening to everything. There was a band out of Eastern Kentucky that was like a Appalachian folk type band that I love too, called Zoe Speaks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, just a little bit of everything.
That's
I listened to everything, but yeah. Country is where it all started, for sure.
So, but like you were saying, you got the guitar when you were four, but you were taking lessons when you were about 12, 13,
I was taking lessons at 10, I think.
Oh, okay. So, just that span of time, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, you just kind of had it.
Yeah, I just kind of had
but
it there.
But you really got serious about it.
Right.
At a young age.
Yeah,
you know?
About
so, would
10
you
years
say
old.
By the time you were a teenager that you were pretty good as far as just flow and.
Yeah, I mean, it was. So, I did a record, my first record, when I was 16.
Now, this is kind of stuff I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
Not
I did,
bad.
Yeah, I did my first record when I was 16, and it was probably one of the coolest things I'd ever done, because it was in a little recording studio in Campbellsville. They had like a music shop called Crystal Music, and they just had a random recording studio in the back, and this guy was like, yeah, I want to bring in some Nashville musicians and we'll do this thing. And you know,
see, a good engineer or producer usually will hear somebody come in and play a song and sing, and they'll instantly know what kind of players am I going to need to make this, you know.
Yeah.
So, obviously, your talent level and I'm assuming your professionalism was already kind of
building.
It was already there.
Yeah,
and so he instantly knew this is worth getting in good quality people for.
Yeah. It was really fun. That was a really cool thing to do. And
so what did you do? Was it like covers, originals?
Originals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was all originals, which listening to it now, it's like early Taylor Swift-ish type stuff.
Cause hey, it's, I like that.
Because it's all, you know, breakups and boys and stuff like that. But
well, you're a teenage girl. I mean, what are you supposed to sing
them? Right. But it was, listening to it now, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know.
That's the joy, I think, of being a musician when you're young.
Right.
Because I, too, went in the studio when I was, like, 15.
Right.
And I listen back to that now, and it's like the difference between my drumming then and now is night and day.
Oh, yeah.
Know? But it's still cool to have it almost a Polaroid of your
about time
transition.
Of your life. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't record.
Right.
So they just kind of lost everything or don't recall anything. It's
sure.
all pictures and memories and stories, you know, but I think it's important to have music recorded.
Oh yeah.
For that reason.
For that reason, yeah.
It's funny and it's embarrassing, but it's also part of the journey.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's important to have.
It's really
cool.
So
good for you. That's
yeah.
a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
So you were 16 at that.
16 then.
But yet before we started rolling, you said you've been in No Deceit since you were 18.
Yeah.
So it was just a span of a few years.
Yeah.
Okay. Before the band got established, was it just you doing like solo gigs, or were you in other bands, or did you like do anything?
Yeah. So it was basically just me. I, you know, my mom took me to like every talent show she could when I was growing up, and I was in the FFA, and they used me as their talent guinea pig.
Right. Well, I know a lot of bands with involved. Well, a lot of country bands would have at least one member involved in FFA.
I loved
and that,
it.
Those were the bands that would get to play those kind of shows. You know, and the Kentucky State Fair was known for having bands there. And I want to say that I think it's Paul from Jericho Woods,
yes.
He's heavily involved.
And Josh, both heavily involved.
I thought so. And again, that's kind of what I'm getting at with that. Is I know that's a world of its own.
Yeah,
you know? So
I loved it.
You were a part of that too.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that kind of experience?
Oh,
playing in front of big audiences and stuff?
Yeah, so when I was 17, I think, it was my senior year, we went to National Convention, and I played at National Convention in the Colt Stadium in front of 50,000 people, and it scared me to death.
Hey, that's awesome.
It's the coolest thing I would say I've done, but it's also one of the like scariest things I've done.
You either got it or you don't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the moment when you walk on stage in a moment like that, you sink or swim.
Yeah, yeah. So it was terrifying.
but you just kind of learn. You know? So it's part of the journey.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've been doing this pretty much your whole life.
Whole life,
so
yeah.
A moment like that is meant to be.
Yes.
Because that's the kind of goal you're walking for if you're serious about it. You know?
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was eye-opening, I guess you'd say.
So you do a lot of stuff, obviously, as a solo artist.
Yes.
You can go anywhere with just you and your guitar
sure.
and do anything. Did you have any kind of jamming buddies or bands or garage bands or just anything at all like that?
I had a few friends that actually were the beginning members of No Deceit. Mm-hmm. Well, I actually had the one guy that I jammed with. His name was Elijah Coffey, and he was the original guitar player for No Deceit. And me and him would just sit around and jam. And he was like, you know, before this band started, he was like, we need to do, there's this talent show in Campbellsville called the K-Country Showdown.
Okay.
And it's the Colgate Country Showdown that they do, the big talent show competition or something. And he's like, we need to do that together. And I was like, yeah, we could do that. And he's like, but we need to put a band together just for that. And I was like, yeah, I don't really know anybody who plays drums or anything. So he kind of put that together, and that's kind of how that all got started.
I've always found it interesting when I talk to singer-songwriters. They're like, I just kind of do my thing, and I don't really know musicians. Like, how do you not know musicians if you're a musician?
Yeah.
That is kind of a world of its own, though.
It is, yeah. Well, I mean, I was really young, too.
That's true.
Nobody at my school really. I mean, there was a couple girls who sang, but nobody at my school really played music that much.
Drummer kid walking around with sticks wearing the Def Leppard t-shirt.
Right, yeah.
He obviously plays drums.
Yeah. that didn't exist too much where I was at, so I didn't really know anyone that well that played music.
That's kind of fascinating me because I've talked to so many people from this area.
Yes.
By the way, we are in Glasgow.
Glasgow,
Kentucky,
yeah.
And it's so thick up here with musicians and all that stuff. I've talked about it so many times in past episodes, but there is something in the water up here.
Definitely.
And it kind of surprises me that you didn't just kind of bump into musicians everywhere you went, because it seems like they're everywhere. But
Here they are, for sure, I think.
Oh, I guess you're referring to the smaller town, though.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. So there really wasn't much there. No. Here there definitely is.
So if you drove into Glasgow, you would have probably found some.
Right, probably. I couldn't throw a stick without hitting a musician, that's for sure.
It really seems like it.
Yeah.
I think Glasgow's like a super small version of Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally everybody seems to play music.
Play something, yeah.
Or
I dig it.
Big fan of it.
Yeah.
So anyway, this being your first band and only band, I mean, that's kind of all we can really focus on.
Sure.
But I just didn't know if there was any history leading up to this moment. But like you said, it's like you've covered it already by just kind of saying I've done this and this, and it makes sense as a singer songwriter that you can do a lot of stuff as a solo artist or even as a duo.
Yeah.
And so mentioning that guy Elijah, how did that whole thing get rolling with you guys, and how did the band come into formation?
So he hit me up one day, and he was like, listen, I really think we need to do this talent show. I think we could win. And I was like, that's cool. And he's like, but I want to put a band together just for this.
Right.
And I was like, okay, sure, we'll just practice, you know, a couple
times.
So
he knew some musicians?
Yeah, he knew some guys. He was from Campbellsville, and he knew the original drummer, Bryce.
Okay.
And then he knew a guy named Andre, who went to they all went to college together.
Right.
And I was just coming out of high school, about to go into college.
Right.
I hadn't started my freshman year. Yeah. It feels like forever ago.
Right, because obviously I saw you guys for the first time at the Spillway.
Yeah.
At the talent show.
Yes.
Or the Battle of the Bands.
Battle of the Bands, yeah.
And that was the first time I'd ever heard the name. That's
sure.
the first time I ever saw you guys. And I was a judge on the
panel
for that. And you lost by 1 point
to
Mo Pie. And
they were amazing.
I remember coming out to the parking lot, and I found you and I think one of the guys, and I was like, if you don't win, I'll be kind of surprised because I think you're going to win. And I was, you know, I just didn't see the other score sheets.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where I first saw you guys. And
it was
great.
Yeah.
But that wasn't that long ago.
That was, about 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
If five, maybe.
We spent a good part of the first part of our band career, I guess you would say. We spent a good part of it playing in churches for a while. And then me and the drummer, Bryce, moved to Nashville trying to play down there. And we played a lot on Broadway. And
how long did you do that?
We only did that for a little less than a year. Okay. We ran out of money real quick.
Yeah. Nashville will chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah, oh yeah. And we were young. Yeah, we were young and naive and thought we could do it.
But I think, because I did the same thing.
Sure.
I think if you're really hungry and have the passion for wanting to succeed in music,
you'll do it, yeah.
That's proof that you want it.
Yeah.
If you actually have the guts to pack the bags and move down there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Roll the dice on it, you know? And you did that.
Yeah, we did that.
So that was in the beginning stages of the band.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So was it established as a band or just more of a jamming project?
Yeah, so at that point, after we played that talent show, we won. And we just said, we're just going to continue doing this.
The goal was to win, and you won.
We won. We won. And it was intentionally just going to be that one-time thing, but we had so much fun doing it that we just kept doing it.
Okay.
And, but, yeah, we played a lot in, like, churches and stuff. And then I was going through my freshman year of college. And then after my freshman year of college was over, I was like, let's go to Nashville. So me and the drummer went. The other guys stayed behind because they were still in school and they didn't want to leave.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, and yeah.
From here to there, that's a decent haul.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It was about 2.5 hours, 3-hour drive. So they didn't get to play with us that much. So it was kind of just me and Bryce doing acoustic sessions on Broadway and doing what we could do. And then
Lower Broad.
It was wild for sure. It was wild. And
I got to experience that in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Definitely.
But at least you did it, and I think that says a lot about your ambition and the passion. Like, you're serious about this.
Yeah,
and obviously you've been doing it forever. So you had to. I mean, I think especially as a country artist, going to Nashville is the ultimate.
Ultimate, yeah.
You know, think about how many country artists come to Nashville, and I mean from, you know, California and
Canada,
Europe. Australia.
Yeah,
but you're 2 hours up north from it, so it's kind of silly not to at least try it or at least go down there and do it and see what it's like. So good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sure you learned a lot from that.
Definitely.
When you all kind of left Nashville, did you already have the name No Deceit?
Yeah, so
how did that come about?
We came up with the name actually for the talent show because we had to have a name for the band.
Right.
They wanted a act name.
Well, of course.
And we were like, oh, okay.
So where did it come from? Like, who came up with it?
So Elijah actually found it in like a Bible verse, and we were just like, oh, that sounds cool. Whatever, we'll go with it. You know, it's just for one time.
Right.
And then
of great band names have come from there.
Sure. Yeah. And we were like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. We'll do that. And then, you know, after a while, we were like, I don't really know what this means. Like, no deceit. We considered changing it a few times.
No receipts.
No receipt. Oh, my God. I've had so many hilarious renditions of that name.
I think deceit's kind of an interesting word.
It is, for sure.
Especially when you look at it, you know.
Yeah.
I think you're just used to seeing other words that look like it.
Right, yeah.
It's one of those words, if you glance at it, you would mispronounce it or whatever.
Definitely.
But it stuck, obviously. I mean, you kept it.
Sure, yeah. We thought about changing a few times, and we're like, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right to change it. It's what it's always been. And now I think it's kind of interesting because I think it's kind of come to define us. Like, we're raw, real, who we are, you know.
I think it's a good name.
No deceit.
The first night I saw you guys at that Spillway show, I was like, that's a great name.
Yeah.
That's a cool band. Like, you guys blew me away.
Awesome.
And it was really, you know, awesome to watch. And I was kind of surprised you didn't win, but, you know. I think there were 10 bands that night.
Yeah.
I think you're the only one that's still around.
Really? Mopai's not a thing anymore.
No.
Really?
No.
They were amazing.
They were amazing.
They're so good.
No, they broke up a few years ago.
Gotcha.
I really think, I mean, I may be wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm almost positive that you're the only band from that Spillway Battle of the Bands that survived.
Still around.
And that would have been in 2014?
14, yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay, so it's been 5 years.
Yeah, it has.
So, back up just a minute.
Okay.
Because I get ahead of myself. The band formed and with the name and the talent show, what year was that?
2011.
Okay. Yeah. So again, you've only been a band for about 8 years.
8 years. Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot of bands don't make it past 8 months.
Sure.
So good for you.
Sure.
So it's been going this whole time with, I know, like you said earlier, Bryce was the original drummer.
Original drummer.
And that's who I saw you guys with, and yeah. I met him and talked to him a little bit. So who was in the band initially?
So Bryce the beginning, McDaniel. Bryce McDaniel was the original drummer.
Right.
And he was with us up until about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He moved with his now wife to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Right. And they're starting a family and everything. So
good terms.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah.
He didn't leave the band on
Yeah,
back.
Definitely. Everyone that's been in and out of this band has definitely been good terms.
Because
it's always something like, you know, family or so like, you know,
man,
school or something
you.
Like that.
No
yeah,
drama.
Yeah. No drama so far.
I have no idea what that's
yeah.
like.
You would think with a girl in the band there'd be drama, but there's not, really. I mean, we love each other, so. But
well,
it's,
some people are just cool, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, sure. But.
So who was the guitar and bass player?
Yeah,
the
original guitar and bass player was Elijah Coffey and Andre Tomas.
Okay.
And then Elijah and Andre, well, Andre was from Brazil.
Really?
Which was, yeah, he was an exchange student at Campbell'sville University, or a foreign student from there, and he had to go back.
Wow.
So we had to get a different bass player, and we went to a guy named Chase Coffey, and he was with us for about 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
And then he got his teaching degree, and he went to go teach. So he was like, bars are probably out for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's
true.
That
makes sense. I get that.
Yeah. So then we found Eric, and I'm glad we found Eric, because he's an amazing bass player.
There's Eric over
Eric Scott.
There.
Yeah, he's hilarious. And then the guitar player went automatically from Elijah to Michael.
Okay.
Who's still the guitar player now. Elijah also got his degree and started working and preaching and stuff, and he wasn't really in for the bar scene or whatever.
Right.
So
I mean the music you guys do, it belongs in a bar.
It does, 100%.
Like, so you definitely have to be
knowing
what you're getting into. You can't do this kind of band and not play in a bar. There's always going to be opportunities for something. But
sure.
This is a bar. I mean, you named your album that, right?
Yeah, Bar Band. Yeah.
I mean, come on. It says it right there.
Yeah. It's grown for sure over the years.
Yeah.
So that's
the band. Like you said, Bryce left about 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And Jaron Mudd is our current drummer.
Right.
Yeah.
And he is awesome.
He's great.
And
yeah.
He's a super cool guy. Like,
yeah.
He texts me out of the blue all the time. And we'll just talk drums and music and all kinds of stuff. And I have really not ever hung out with him in person before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's wild.
But, I mean, he's a super cool dude.
Yeah.
So you've got a damn good band.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously, you're awesome.
Thank you.
And you guys have been really strong, especially since this lineup for what now? At least three years.
Yeah.
That's a strong length of time.
Yeah.
For something, for all four to be in and stick it out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So I know that you recorded, was it an EP or an album?
We did an album back in like 2015.
Right.
And that was when Harlan Bridge was released. That was our first single. And then we did an EP of Bar Band.
Bar Band was the EP. Now you did that, and you recorded that at County Q.
Yeah, at the County Q in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
Yeah, that was in 2017.
See, I follow you guys.
Yeah.
I don't see you live very much, because every time you're playing, I'm usually busy.
I know, dude.
Doing
I was dying to see Captain Dean whenever you guys were doing that
I'm
project.
I'm actually performing here tomorrow night.
You've got a new project,
though.
What
project,
is it?
And it's playing at here at Riblicker's tomorrow night, and you're going to be in Franklin. So.
Yes, I know. I'm so upset about it.
I was like, I got to do this recording today because you're playing all weekend, and I'm playing, and so here we are.
That's awesome. Here we are.
But I'm really glad we could meet here at Riblicker's Smoke Shack.
Yeah.
Try the brisket. Now, this is a great place, and what Dwayne has built here with the stage and the variety of music that he's had over the years. I'm thrilled to record this episode here. Yeah. I feel like it's part of the local music scene.
Definitely.
And that's what's been cool about recording in some of the venues lately. In these more recent episodes, I've gone to the actual venue.
Yeah.
So that's been great.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy about that. So thank you again for meeting me here.
Well, no, thank you for coming.
I think Dwayne needed the shout out. It's a great restaurant. The food's phenomenal.
Oh,
but
it is.
The music, the live show, the stage, the concerts they put on here is just top notch.
Definitely.
And you guys have been playing here for a while.
Yeah, we've been playing here for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
once, I don't really know how to ask this question because you've had so many people come and go, but I guess have you stuck to like a formula
as far as sound
bookings
goes?
And sound?
Oh, booking.
Yeah, just in general. Like,
yeah, so
obviously the vision was based on you and
right.
what you're seeing, what you're capable of seeing, and what you want to sing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You are known as a country band.
Right.
But it's got some, you
it's
know,
got some rock in it.
It's got some rock and roots
and
in it.
Roots, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
Because your players are phenomenal.
Definitely, yeah. And it's funny because
it's
like
an amazing band.
Definitely. They're the heart and soul of it. I mean, like I sing the songs and stuff, but they come up with like all the original stuff you hear, all the riffs, all the like mostly all of the music part of it they come up with. I just write the lyrics and I'm like, hey, play me something over top of this and
but it seems to run really smooth.
Yeah.
Obviously, I follow you guys online and or social media, and always doing something.
Yeah.
I mean, you're always posting things, and not only shows, which you do play a lot.
Yeah.
But you're always posting just variety of things of being active.
Yeah.
You're a very active band. You don't seem to disappear for 2 months.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So again, it's awesome because you guys are a real band.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, not some side project or whatever.
Sure.
You don't seem to bust out and do solo shows often.
No, not
I know
very
you
often.
Can, but
yeah,
you
yeah,
don't
yeah.
seem to do that. You seem to be loyal to the band.
I'm very much in this band. So it's not that I am opposed to doing things on my own. Mm-hmm. I've been with these guys for 8 years, and I feel like the best music comes whenever we're all together, and it's not just one person or
no,
the
I
other
totally
person.
Get that.
So,
I mean, it really shows.
Yeah,
it really does. Golly, I just I'm admiring his drum set.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they look good in the lights. It's sparkly. So, as far as sound goes, I mean, when you started out, I mean, obviously, did you do like every Terry Clark song?
No. They wouldn't let me. They were like, you can't do Terry Clark because it just...
At least do three,
yeah.
Right? But obviously, you started out, the band starts out, was it solid country or did it have various things kind of touch and go?
I think it was more country then than it is now.
Right.
I think what we played was the stuff that I did on my first album when I was 16.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, at that point,
well,
we didn't
have...
Well,
at least you had songs
and something
to start with. You know?
Yeah.
It was a good launching pad to have, so that's good.
It was just kind of what I had at the time built up, and then as time went on, I think it's gotten rockier, grungier, but it's still got country roots.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
I mean, what are some of your favorite like artists that you cover right now? Like, what's in your current set list?
Oh my gosh, so many. Ashley McBride. I'm like a huge fan of Ashley McBride.
Yeah.
We cover a couple of her songs.
That's awesome.
Don't do it the justice that it deserves, but huge fan of her.
Yeah.
Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
You can't not do Chris Stapleton. And I love his sound. So I definitely try to get in some Chris Stapleton. We're breaching into doing a little bit of Tyler Childers because I love Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
But so there's quite a bit, and then Band of Heathens and a little bit rockier type country sound stuff. But
you do a lot of classic stuff. I mean, you got some classic things thrown in there, or is it all pretty current?
Most of what we do is anywhere from like 90s country to today.
Would they consider 90s country classic country?
You know?
Because that would freak me out.
I don't consider that classic. Classic to me is still Johnny Cash, Patsy Cline.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The 60s.
Yeah. We do a little Johnny, a little Patsy every once in a while.
It was weird when they referred to 80s music as classic. And I'm like, really? Classic? I would think classic would be like Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Madonna. You know?
Yeah, I was born in the 90s, so I don't want to call it a classic, because
exactly.
That means I'm old.
That means you're old. Yeah. That is the joke of it all.
Sure.
But obviously you guys do a lot of covers for shows like this, especially.
Sure.
When you're doing a three-hour gig,
yeah. You have to have something.
And it's, you know, this is a family-friendly kind of venue. When you do like other maybe venues or music halls, and you're on a bill with like three or four other bands, do you stick to originals?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We might throw in like one cover if it seems like a lot of fun.
Right,
but
just kind of based on the mood.
Yeah. But mostly it's all originals
at
that point. Yeah.
So you're true to the band.
Yeah.
That's
great. Definitely. Yeah.
And you do play a lot of those shows, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Get on bills with other bands and all that stuff.
Well, there's so much talent in this area,
yeah.
And we just want to kind of all support each other, especially. So, I mean, especially, like, you know, we just did a show at Spillway with Jericho Woods and Axe and the Oak.
That's right.
That was awesome.
That was good.
Yeah. That was the one you were going to come to.
I was going to try.
Yeah. And you were playing.
I tried to come to everything.
You were playing at Tidballs.
Yeah.
And how did that go? Was that fun?
Of course it's
fun. Yeah, I love Tidballs.
I always look miserable in the photos that people take of me, but promise, I'm having fun. I figured that you guys had enough material.
Yeah.
Because of the EP and the album, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got enough to do an entire show of just your own music.
Just originals, yeah.
That's cool. I think a lot of bands, or not a lot, but some bands lose that identity. They feel like they have to do covers to make the crowd happy. But I've never seen 30 people in an audience walk up to the stage and go, "Don't play your own stuff. Play songs that we know."
Yeah.
But they just automatically assume that it's not okay to play their own music. I always thought that was weird.
Yeah. I think we did feel like that for a while, and
then
we just started doing it, and people were requesting our stuff, our original stuff, and I was like, oh, okay.
Well, when you put out a record, I mean, you should do your own
stuff.
That's cool. Golly, what am I missing here? Venue-wise, like I said, I saw you at the Spillway for the first time. I can't believe it, say 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You can say it's not that long ago, but kind of is.
It is.
It doesn't seem like it was five years ago. On a local music level in this area, where do you guys usually play on a regular basis, or, you know, what venues do you go to a lot?
Yeah, so we play Rib Liquors a lot.
Yeah.
I think this year we have about two or three more shows set up here, and we've done it. Our first show here this year was in February. This is our second show here.
Okay.
We do a lot at Spillway. Love Spillway Bar and Grill. Love Robert and all them down there, and they always really support us.
Robert does a good job as, like, when he books those shows.
Yes.
Or a well-known artist, and he reaches out to a certain local to get an opener.
Yeah.
I've always thought he does a phenomenal job.
He really
of
does.
Pairing.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
I've noticed you guys are on some of those bills.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. We played with Sonny Sweeney down there, and that was really cool. Alex Williams, all those guys. So that was really cool to do. But I love playing those places for sure. We play in Louisville a little bit, a place called Merle's Whiskey Kitchen. And it's kind of an acoustic gig or whatever, but it's a lot of fun because we kind of get to just goof off and
be yourself,
you know, which we are on stage here, full band and stuff, but it's a little bit of a different vibe for
sure. You guys
definitely
have fun on stage.
Oh yeah,
I know that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What else in in Bowling Green, is it strictly like Spillway? Is there another?
We've done different things. Yeah. So we've done Tidballs a couple times. We've done.
I thought you did.
Yeah. We've done. Well, that was a lot of fun too. I love that venue. They have a great setup and everything, and they're really musician friendly.
It's such a welcoming place, especially for original music. So.
Definitely. Yeah. We've done that. We used to play at Bruco when it was open.
I thought so.
The Irish pub down there, Dublin's. Dublin's. Yeah, we've done Dublin's a couple times. Yeah.
So you have covered Bowling Green quite a bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, Glasgow has Riblickers, yeah. But it used to have another venue or two. Have you ever played at the Plaza Theater?
Yeah, we played at the Plaza last year. We opened up for Muscadine Bloodline.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was really cool.
I bet that was an amazing
experience. It was, oh my gosh, yeah. We had like a dressing room. It was insane.
That place is beautiful.
It is. It's so nice.
Like, man, I've been to the Palace in Louisville before, but this
it's very similar. I would say in some ways maybe even a little cooler. I don't know.
Very, I mean, and to be a local...
Yeah,
to play
just
that
a joint,
must have been,
local joint, yeah. Yeah. But it was so cool, yeah. I loved it. That was a lot of fun. And they're a great band also, so.
Do you guys travel much? Do you do, like, regional touring of any kind? Or do you just kind of have, like, a close-to-home kind of, you know, base kind of thing?
Yeah, so we've done a couple of tours. Mm-hmm. We've toured. In 2017, we went to Texas during South by Southwest.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool. They had like a little thing called the Texas Indie Fest, and it was at this place called the Red Shed Tavern down there. We went to Austin for that, and we went to New Hampshire, I want to say the same year, later on, which was a long drive, but it was worth it. We did the Laconia Bike Week. It was like, it's like the oldest... bike rally or whatever, something like that. I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. It was interesting.
Wouldn't have thought about that place.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
But yeah, you're an active, hardworking band.
Definitely.
And it really shows, and everybody seems to be on the right page together.
Yeah.
And you should definitely be proud of that. I know you are.
Yeah.
What is in store in the future? Obviously, it's 2019 while we're recording this episode.
Sure.
But what's on the future for No Deceit? What's coming up?
Yeah, so we're about to, which this will actually, we're about to release this information in a couple days. So
well,
this will be
come out.
This will be aired a little after that.
After.
But we're about to. Do a show in July at the Red Barn Radio in Lexington. They did a couple live albums for Tyler Childers.
Awesome.
And we're about to do a live album there.
That's cool.
Yeah, and that'll be really cool.
That'll be great because it'll really capture
the rawness. Yeah, I'm super stoked about that.
Be.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're working with John Lahone from Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah.
He's just built a little studio, and we're about to do a record with him, like a studio record too.
I've seen pictures of this place. It looks mesmerizing.
Yes, it's beautiful.
And I know Mark Owens is involved.
Yes.
And he's an incredible engineer.
Mark's insane. I love him.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
So to have Mark Owens involved with John and the Blackstone Camp, having the home studio and all that, it's got to be incredible.
Yeah, it is. I'm super stoked for that record. Yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I would say so. Yeah, it's definitely a goal to have.
Yeah.
Just keeping to it, right?
Yeah, keeping at it.
Touring, playing, doing, booking, whatever comes around, right?
Yeah, yep.
That's awesome.
Definitely.
The band's records, are they available online?
Yeah, so you can get any of our albums. They're on like Spotify, Pandora, Google, Apple Music, pretty much anywhere you can find music. You can find Bar Band and Harlan Bridge, which is our first single.
And you guys have hard copies available as well? Do you have like a website or anything? Or?
We do have a website. We're not currently selling on that website. I'm trying to get that fixed because I'm not very computer savvy. Yeah, I am not very computer savvy, but I'm trying to work with a lady who runs websites, so I'm trying to get that set up where we can sell online.
So it's definitely in the works.
Yes.
And you'll make it to where your merch is available.
Merch is available online and stuff, but
obviously
we're selling.
The best way to get your all's merch is to come to a show.
Come to a show. Say hi to Mariah. She's our merch girl.
That's right.
Yeah.
You guys definitely have a good crew.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A great fan base. You've really built a really good, strong fan base.
It's grown so much in like the past 3 or 4 years, and I'm just psyched about it because they're awesome.
I know a lot of people around here are into you guys, but a lot of bands respect you guys. Wade England.
Oh yeah,
praise
Boomstick. Yeah, I love those guys.
They love doing shows with you guys.
Yeah, they're great.
And he's like, you know, we're polar opposites in music,
sure.
But yet it works.
It works.
It completely put. It's a good show.
Yeah.
For the people because they're getting. all this music and all this kind of vibe and genre stuff in one evening with
two bands
that are different but yet fit really good together.
Yeah.
And so I know for a fact that he has praised this band. I know Ry Davis is really
a big
fan of you guys.
And he's killing it, man.
Strong supporter from the beginning.
Yeah.
I think you opened for him early on, right?
I think that was maybe one of the first times we played at Spillway.
Yeah.
He had his album release party there whenever he just kind of first came onto the scene.
Yeah.
And it was right after he did that show on TV. I don't remember what the show was, but...
you have to listen to his Sound Atlas episode.
Yeah.
He talks all
Yeah. It was right after he did that. And then
I remember that.
It was
a big deal.
Yeah, it was. Bowling Green. It was like a big album release party.
Yeah.
And he played a couple songs, and then we closed out the night. And ever since then, we've been big buddies with Ry. So, yeah, he's great.
I
noticed
you guys play a lot of the same venues.
Yeah.
Obviously, musically speaking, it's in the same boat.
Sure.
So, you guys do a lot of the same stuff.
And yeah.
Two local area country bands in the same age range too, so it's a good fit.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah, he's killing it. I'm proud for him
He's a good dude.
Yeah,
I've had many conversations with him. I did an episode with him not that long ago, and I just have so much respect for that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Speaking of local music and musicians. Who are you a fan of, and who do you try to catch when you're free and available?
Oh, my gosh. I'm a fan of almost everyone around here, pretty much. I love Ry, of course. I love, Kiss Kiss Bang.
Yep.
They're doing some great stuff right now.
They're doing great stuff.
You know, I'm dying to come see you play. Dying.
I don't think you ever will, because...
I want to.
Either I'm not in the band, or I'm playing the same that you are.
I wanted to see the Captain Dean project
much.
But I loved it. I seen pictures. I kept up with you online. So I loved it. oh my gosh. There's so many people around this area.
I know. And this is everybody's least favorite question.
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
Yeah.
Because you always forget somebody.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, who else like stands out to you? Like maybe not now, but maybe in the past. Is there a local band that you caught wind of at a young age that kind of grabbed your attention?
At a younger age, I wasn't very knowledgeable of who all was down in this area.
Right.
Gosh, there's just so many people. Love Jericho Woods, which I'm not sure that they're... I don't think they're from this area, but they play in this area a lot.
They do, and I put them in this area.
Did you?
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Not personally, but you know.
Yeah.
I mentally think of them as a local band.
Yeah, I do too.
Just because of their connections and the people they know.
Yeah.
But I want to say they are more of a Elizabethtown.
Yeah, I think they're from up in that area somewhere there.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm really not sure where it all is, but
it's somewhere up there.
They're just a Kentucky, good old Kentucky
they
band.
They are a central Kentucky band.
And, of course, the Josephines.
Yeah.
Love the Josephines.
You
love what they're doing.
You guys should do a show with the Josephines. You'd be a great combination act as far as the energy level.
Yeah. We did.
A good fit.
Whenever Robert had his 20th anniversary, it was us and Josephines and Kyle Daniel. And
that's
I love
right.
Kyle Daniel also.
Yeah, Kyle's awesome.
We opened up for the Josephines, or we opened up for Kyle, and Kyle opened up for the Josephines, something like that.
Right.
But I'm dying. I've been talking to them back and forth, and they're like, yeah, let's do something. So hopefully that'll be in the works this year, too.
I mean, those guys are so good.
Yeah.
And they definitely have not forgotten where they came from.
No, I love them. I love them.
They're so good to the hometown, you know. I don't see how that would not happen.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever think that they're too good to do something like
that. For sure.
They're good boys.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, is there anything I've missed? Is there anything I have forgotten? Or have we covered your band and music timeline?
I think that's that's pretty much it. Yeah.
I usually ended on the question of who are you into?
Who am I into?
Yeah.
Music-wise?
Well, locally, I always ask that question.
Sure, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you listening to? What are you into?
Like I said, you know, a lot
Don't
of...
Terry Clark.
Yeah. I still listen to Terry. I still hang on to it.
You never let go of your inspiration.
No,
you know?
Never. No, I still...
That never gets
Mariah old. Can vouch for that. I listen to too much Terry for her. liking because she rides with me to every show. And
take the earbuds.
Yeah. I still listen to Terry Clark. I still listen. But I right now I'm really into Ashley McBride. Right. I'm really into Tyler Childers.
Good choices.
Yeah, definitely. And
this is real stuff, though.
Like, yeah.
That's not that, you know, junk that comes out.
So yeah, those are real musicians.
Be careful about how I word.
Sure. We know what you mean. Yeah.
Real country music is still alive.
Alive and well.
And it's very much alive in No Deceit and in you.
Yes.
So
thank you.
Thank you for what you do, and thank you for joining me today to do this.
It was awesome talking with you, man. Thank you.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Have a good show.
Thanks.
And best of luck to No Deceit from here on in the future.
Yeah, thank you, man.